to get started about Good Friday, I am fairly passionate about Good Friday. The leadership team knows this. I'm always clear we're going to do something for Good Friday. I love Easter. I love what it's all about. I love everything that comes with it. But sometimes I think we jump to Easter too quickly and we pass over Good Friday too much, right? We can't get to Easter without Good Friday. Jesus can't rise if he didn't first die. So I want to take a little bit of time to read a scripture about the crucifixion and then talk about a quote that I came across that I really like that has to do with it. So we are going to read Luke 23, verses 33 through 49. If you're following along, great. Otherwise, I will just read it here. We have more coming in. That is awesome. So Luke 23, 33 says this. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." They divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you're king of the Jews, save yourself." There was written a notice above him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We're punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." And all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place. They beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. So there's kind of the story, what just happens. And a lot of thoughts come up for me. I read this usually every year around this time and focus on it. First off, how brutal and awful it must have been a way for Jesus to die. There's people watching him, the pain and the agony. But then we kind of have to flip it and look at, what does this really mean for us? And what do we take away from the crucifixion? Why do we continually remember it? And here's a quote that I came across. This is by James Brian Smith. He's an author and pastor. This is from his book, The Good and Beautiful You. He says, "Until you rest in the finality of the cross, you will never experience the reality of the resurrection." And we're going to get to the reality of the resurrection on Sunday. All right? It's great. It's about eternal life, and I can't wait to talk about it. That one's going to be fun. But tonight, we're going to stay here on the cross. And there are two words from that quote that really always stood out to me, and they are rest and finality. All right, we rest in the cross, and the cross is final. So I want to look at those two quickly and see how they relate to what Jesus did on the cross. We're going to do it backwards. I'm going to start with finality. One thought that often comes up about the cross is like, wait a minute, it's not final. Right, we think Jesus died, but wait, that's not it. Sunday's coming. He's going to rise. Now, that is true, but Jesus' death on the cross wasn't final, but what he accomplished was final. Romans 4, 23 and 25 says, "The words 'it was credited to him' were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness. For us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification." He was delivered to death for our sins. The death that Jesus died was death to our sins. Our sins aren't going to resurrect like Jesus did. Now, it doesn't mean we won't sin again. It doesn't mean we won't commit the same sin over and over again. I wish it meant that. I wish it meant I wasn't going to screw up anymore, but it doesn't mean that. But what it does mean is our sins are no longer counted against us, our sin being what separates us from God. Jesus dying paid the price so that we're no longer separated from him. That price is a final sale price. In John's gospel, if you read this story, there's the words, Jesus says, "It is finished," right before he breathes that last breath. And in the Greek, that word is tetelestai. I've shared that word before. I know just a few Greek words from my studies, and tetelestai is my favorite one because it means it is finished. It's final. My sin not counted against me anymore. Jesus finished that. He completed it. He didn't just cover it up. He wiped it away, and it's gone. It's completely gone. I want to show a couple things here. These are things my kids have been working on, right? Are you familiar with things like these? These are these scratch-off type of things, right? We have these. Okay, so the idea here, yeah, they're from Lola. Your kids have them too. Is you start with this, but this is underneath it, right? You scratch it off and you get to the cool picture or the color, right? So that's what you do. Now, sometimes I think we think our sin is like this. It's here, and then Jesus covers it up like this, right? It's been covered, but through our own pain, our own struggle, it's scratched, it's scraped away, and it just reveals this again. Jesus on the cross wasn't like this, right? Jesus on the cross was way more, let's go like a magic eraser. Are you familiar with those, right? Get the stains out. I have kids, I have young kids, I have babysat lots of kids. They're messy. I cook, I'm messy. I tell my wife I have yet to met a stain that I will not tackle, right? Joella was sick a couple weeks ago. He threw up all over me. My shirt looks brand new. I am not afraid to go at a stain, all right? Jesus completely removes our sin. He doesn't cover it up like this. He removes it like that magic eraser. It's totally final. That goes for the sins we've committed and the ones we will commit. So short of completely denying Jesus, we can't screw it up so bad that it becomes undone. In sports, if you're watching any of the college basketball that's on right now, they tell athletes and teams, it ain't over till it's over, until that final whistle blows. Well, guess what? This one's over. Jesus fought the fight and he won. So accepting that and believing that allows us to come to that second word, which is rest. I would say rest and find relief in the cross. And I want you to look at the passage that we read or think about back and what the two other men said. I have this picture hanging here. Joella, my four-year-old, made this in school and she brought it home and it was sitting on our piano this week and she and I were sitting there and she's always quick to tell me, Dad, there wasn't just one cross, there were three crosses, there were two other people up there. So I thought about what these other two said, and it says it in the passage. I'll paraphrase, but the first guy says, you're the Messiah, right? You claim to be that guy. Use what you got. Save us. Save yourself. Like, he's almost challenging Jesus just to do it. The second guy says, no. We deserve what we're getting, what's coming to us. Let us die. But this guy right here, he didn't deserve it. This isn't just. He shouldn't have to die for anything he did. Now, Jesus could have done what that first guy said and saved himself. And I wonder how heavy in his mind that would have been, how tempting it was to just save himself. And honestly, I kind of wonder sometimes, how would he have done it? He just floated down, would he have floated up? I don't know, right? His miracles were amazing. He probably would have done it in a cool way. But the point is, it's a moot thing to think about because it was never going to happen, because it wasn't about him and what he did. It was about us and what we did and will do. It was about relieving our debt of sin, debt relief. Many people, as we're sitting here, have some type of debt, or at one point in our lives have had debt, whether it's mortgage, credit cards, student loans, cars, right? All of it. According to an article by Business Insider, the average debt in the US is $104,000 across mortgages, student loans, auto loans, and credit cards. Tends to peak between the ages of 40 and 49. The state of Washington has the highest average debt, West Virginia the lowest. Us here in Wisconsin, apparently the average is about $85,000. So think about if you have any financial debt. Now, if you're sitting here with none, pat yourself on the back, because that's rare and it's awesome. But if you do, think about the relief you would feel if it was just forgiven. If it was gone, wiped away, you don't owe it anymore. And it wasn't like your debt's wiped away in a sketchy movie where the guy's gonna come back to you in a back alley and say, now you owe me for that. It's not like that. It's not gonna happen. Would you rest easier? Yes. If my mortgage was magically paid off, I would rest easier. So when any debt we have is taken off our shoulders for good, we can and should rest easier. It doesn't have to weigh our minds down or weigh our attitudes down. Our debt of sin, our condemnation is completely forgiven and relieved. That's what Jesus did on the cross. So take a breath, slow down, and feel a little lighter. The sin and the mistakes and the shame we naturally feel doesn't have to weigh us down anymore. All we do now is follow Jesus and put him first. Luke 9:23 says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. We don't take up our cross as a means of carrying our own sin, but as a means of sacrificing our way for Jesus' way. Jesus carried that big old cross up the hill to Golgotha with our sin weighing on it, so we don't have to, and we can rest in that. And resting can be hard, I get that. I don't rest well. I'm always doing something, wanting to do more, finding that next thing. Well, with this, there's been enough. There is no next thing other than just following Jesus. So even if you feel like what you did was so big, it might take more to pay it off, it doesn't. Because as we sang, Jesus paid it all. He paid it in full, and we can rest in it. So we rest in the finality of the cross. What Jesus did is done, and what he accomplished cannot be undone. He's gonna rise. We'll talk about it Sunday. but the debt of your sin does not rise with him. So rest in that. Breathe a slow breath that it's finished, because it is finished. Let's pray. God, I thank you again for tonight, just so we can have this reminder of the cross, and God, that is finished, that we don't owe our debt of sin anymore to you, that you sent your son to pay for that so we can have eternal life with you. So God, I pray that as we move into a time of communion and we remember that together, that you would put that on our hearts and we begin to rest in what the cross is, God. We thank you for that. In your name, amen.